And so you can create the most beautiful world. Human mind, when it has touched the silence, it has gone beyond thought. The everyday thought which you are talking has come to a standstill because it is meaningless. It's mechanical. The mind starts opening up to immense possibility of creation. And you can create beautiful world. You can create beautiful things. That is conscious contact with God, let's say conscious contact with God. Not God sitting somewhere there. Not that God who is going to punish you for your sins. No, the creative force. When I use the word God, the creative force, creative energy. You understand? God is not sitting somewhere on judgment, punishing people for their sins and rewarding for virtues. God is the creative force. And that creative force unleashes itself. And the human mind, the moment the ego starts melting away, when it's not completely melted, even then the energy of creation starts manifesting. So even when you're relatively simple, not completely free of ego, only relatively free of ego, the energy of creation starts manifesting. And that's why, simply because of this creative force, this power of creation, you cannot say who has gone beyond ego and who has not gone beyond ego. There are many people who have not completely gone beyond ego can also have this creative force. But when you move further, then you find beyond every power of creation, beyond every height of understanding, awareness, knowledge, capacities, there is that beyond which is immeasurable, unknowable. It's not there, it is here. Which is described in the books of the ancient wisdom in the East, they have described it. There's so immense that nothing is bigger than that. And it is so small that nothing is smaller than that. So here the laws of physics fail. If something is as immense as anything, that nothing is bigger than that, and something is so small at the same time, which is nothing smaller than that, there are no laws of physics, no measurement there. So without bringing this quality in life, which is much higher than the creative force, which is immeasurable, undefinable, where laws of measurement, laws of physics, quantum theory and theory of relativity, everything fails there. Only by touching that dimension, then you know whatever you talk, whatever you say, whatever you feel and experience, whatever you have created or you can create is nothing. Only in that nothingness we can meet. In the power of creation we cannot meet, because one may have more power than the other. But only on that level of being, where it is the highest, the biggest, and the smallest. So the smallest and the biggest, they meet at the same point. There the ego comes to an end completely. There is true humility, that's the beginning of true humility. And through that true humility, and that true humility creates intelligence. Through that true humility, there is a connection between the world beyond into the world of time and space. That's the link. Through that humility, you can go back and forth. Not through your arrogance, not through your achievements, through that humility. And this humility is not a pretense, not trying to be humble, trying to talk very nicely and gently, or putting up a face or an appearance of humility. That humility is coming out of an innate realization within, that howsoever you know, whatever you may know, whatever you may do, whatever you may create, is nothing. It's all illusion. Why it's all illusion? Because in the world of relativity, nothing is absolutely real. What is true is also false. What is false is also true. What we are talking, please don't understand that what we are talking is truth. It's not truth. It is as much true as it is false. But if your mind is listening, then it may be able to go beyond this truth and false to touch that dimension. But the words, whatever they are being said, they are only indicating one aspect of reality. The other aspect is equally true. So for whatever thought you have, the other thought can be created which is equally true. You can never win an argument. For every argument there is a counter-argument. Therefore, on the level of thought, there is no finality. It cannot be. And truth cannot be communicated verbally. What we are trying to do is, we are talking in order to bridge the gap which might exist between your mind and my mind. So these words are only trying to bridge the gap between your mode of expression and my mode of expression, to find a common mode of expression. When we find a common mode of expression, the mind becomes quiet. And only in that silence, the mind can touch truth in a non-verbal state. So whatever we are speaking, whatever we are talking, and whatever goes into the tapes or goes into the books is not totally true. Please don't live by that. People make these books into Bible. They make this book into a guide for their spiritual life. They are not. But if you can read carefully, if you can hear carefully, you may be able to go beyond the word and feel something which lies beyond the word. If you don't listen with that carefulness, these books and these tapes, they are all stumbling blocks. So only through that sense of humility And let's not talk of humility. It's going to be expressed tomorrow when you are being confronted by other groups, by other teachers, by other leaders, by other people. How you are going to relate to them. Then your humility will be tested. Sitting on the platform, you can talk of humility for 2 hours. It's very easy. But the humility is going to be tested in life tomorrow. The postman might test it. The shopkeeper in a shop might test it. Your landlady might test it. Anybody might test it. That would be the test. Talking on the platform is easy. When we test it, then how you respond to that challenge, that is the thing. And if you respond to those challenges adequately and totally, without getting hurt and annoyed, the immensity is there. God is there. And then you have no fears, no anxieties, no fear of being alone, no fear of being abandoned, wherever you may go, wherever you may live. And so I come to the last point here, because this is our last talk here. We have been talking about guru and disciple relationship, teacher and student relationship. And the question has come in so many forms. Since my early childhood, I noticed it, that I was learning something. And this knowledge seemed to come from outside. And all sorts of knowledge seemed to come from outside. I don't think I was born with any knowledge. And so it may be true about you also. Because what I am saying about you, I am talking to you as a human being, as any other human being is. Not as some special person. So whenever this knowledge came, there was something inside. I don't know what it was, which could somehow or the other decide what is true and what is false. And it could reject the false and accept the truth. And somewhere it might have made mistakes. And once a mistake is made, the mistake is seen, the lesson is learned, and the false is dropped, and you move further. So all along in life, guidance, information, knowledge is coming from outside. Doesn't matter whether it comes from some friend or father or brother or teacher or book, or doesn't matter from where it comes. It comes from outside. But there is something inside which somehow or the other sees what is true or what is not true. So there was a guru outside, there was a guru inside. There were 2 gurus, one outside, one inside. The outside guru was supplying everything, more information than was necessary. And the inside guru was telling how to discriminate by learning from past mistakes. So this is how you keep on moving in life. I in my life, I did not have any formal guru. So there may have been many gurus or teachers in life who might have come in different forms and ways at life, in different stages of life. But I didn't have any formal guru. But now some of you may not be in that privileged or unprivileged position. Because I don't know whether it is a privileged position to find a teacher or is an unprivileged position to find it. No teacher. You understand what I mean? I was in search of a guru myself at the age of 17. I went to Rishikesh in search of a guru. I did not find one. One or two people about whom I had thought, about whom I had read, I met them, they did not convince me. They were not convincing. They may be enlightened or they may be great, I do not know, but I could not understand it. And so then life moved on by itself. But when I say by itself, there is no itself, because you know, I don't know when, from what angle you talk. There is an angle when I start talking now. I see from a certain level where there is no discovery, where there is nothing new, no thought is new. The whole of this knowledge, whole of this understanding is there pre-existing. Only at some moment, mind just opens to it. You become receptive to it and starts filtering through. You don't do anything, you don't move. Your struggle and hard work means nothing. Your attempts and struggle to achieve and get knowledge means nothing. Somewhere you get tired, you get exhausted, and that tiredness or exhaustion is surrender. And in that state of surrender, you open somewhere to some level of existence, some level of reality, and something starts filtering through. But it is there, it was there already. It has not been created something new. So I don't know whether really something new. The whole of the information is available to the human psyche, the whole record is there. So, and that seed is present in each one of you. Every one of you in his or her brain cells carry that information. And also in that brain, there is a channel for receiving any information from anywhere. Only if you are receptive, if you are open. So everything is there. So now I cannot say to myself that whatever I am talking to you is my own, I have discovered it by myself, or it is somebody else's. Because there is no division there, it's pre-existing. The whole of the human psyche is, since this dawn of civilization, from the first man born up till now, up to me, up to my time, all that information is there. And I don't know without that knowledge, without that information, if we could discuss today what we are discussing. It sounds very brilliant when we talk of bringing a change in the social consciousness, bringing a new social structure in existence based on harmony and love, and say it has never been attempted before. It has never succeeded before. There's an evidence. And it may sound that we are more brilliant. We have much greater understanding than the ancients or the wise people in the past. We are the only one who are so clever or brilliant or enlightened. That's not so. Only thing is, we have been introduced to a level of reality, time and space, where our problem has become so intense and intensified through the movement of the mind, through the movement of the intellect, that you have been forced to come to a point where either you change or perish. In the past, people were not confronted with that challenge. Today the question is not your enlightenment, the question is if you don't get enlightened, if you don't understand, if you don't learn to live in a different way, humanity is going to perish. That's the challenge, which never existed before. And on the one level, there is a threat to survival, and on the other, the advancement of technology, knowledge, radio, television, printing, books, knowledge disseminated so vast, in such a vast network, that it has opened you to all the possible combinations and permutations of what human mind can possibly think. So, more or less, humanity has been forced to come to a point where intellect cannot move further. And mutation only takes place when the existing structure comes to its maximum capacity, where it cannot expand further. Mutation takes place then. So any discovery, any change takes place only when the pre-existing structure cannot expand any further. So that's the state of the intellect today. Intellect, not wisdom. Wisdom has been there in the past also. But intellect had not expanded to that level. So we have been confronted with that challenge, and therefore we are thinking now of a global change. We are fortunate to be born in that era, with that challenge. But that doesn't mean we are greater or bigger or more enlightened than people in the past. So now when you come to this understanding that you don't know, for me I don't know what is a guru and what is a disciple, the whole life seems to be there. But for some of you who come to someone in life, into a relationship, where you discover that somebody points out the way to you and you move and you find that it is true. And when you find something new and refreshing and true, it's but natural that that person becomes important in your life. And if you want to find out the absolute truth, the ultimate truth, nothing should become important in your life. That's the challenge. You understand? When you meet someone in your life who introduces you to a new way of approach of living and thinking, who guides you to a way of understanding, and you start seeing something to be true, then that person who points out the way, who moves with you on that journey, becomes important to you. It's natural. Because in all your relationship up till now, nobody pointed out the way to you in that way, so clearly to bring about a change in your life. To bring about a change in your thinking, in your feeling, in your existence. And now you meet someone who points out the way and moves with you on that way. Because if you meet someone on your way and he points out the way and he disappears, or he moves in the opposite direction and you move in the other direction, there is no problem. But if you are going to meet the same person again and again, every day, every 6 months, every year, then it's an ongoing relationship. Now this person is bound to become important in your life. Is it clear? And there is also another law of life, that if you want to discover the absolute truth, the ultimate truth, nothing in your life should be important other than the truth. Truth demands a very heavy price. Let's say truth is a very jealous mistress. She doesn't tolerate any rival. You can't have two women at the same time with you. You can have only this lady truth. Nothing else. So that's a real challenge. And how do you resolve this challenge? Because this challenge has to be resolved, this challenge has to be met. Your love, your affection, your attachment, your bonds of relationship with this person who is pointing out the way to you, whom you may call guru or a teacher or a friend or father, doesn't matter what you call, those bonds are natural, they are not unnatural. And you can't disregard them also. You can say, look, I don't care. You cannot do that also. Because if you are a thankless human being, there is no truth then also. And if you are too thankful and involved with this person, then there is no truth also. If you form a romantic relationship, there is no truth also. So here, unless you can transcend this form and see that form only a manifestation of that truth, of that energy, it is manifesting in every form, but in one form you happen to recognize it. In other forms you cannot recognize it yet. That's your limitation. But truth is manifesting everywhere. So in one form when it manifests to you, can you acknowledge that truth in that form and still through the form only worship the truth? Form is changeable. Form may change. This person who is leading you on the right way today, who is helping you as a guide and a friend and a teacher or a guru, tomorrow your ways may separate, may not separate. Perceptions may differ. If there is a genuine difference and you cannot learn anything more from that person, you may part company. But you must part company with love and affection, not with violence. You cannot set aside your past. The recognition of the past gives you a quality of love and affection. That love and affection, once it is there, you cannot say today it doesn't exist. If your love and affection of 5 years or 10 years dies today, it was not love and affection. Love and affection does not die. So you may part company. If the perception varies, if the perception is not congruous, is not moving together, you may part company. Because for you, not the form but truth should be the final testing ground. If the person who has come in your life is not expressing that truth, you part company. If you cannot learn any more, part company, but with love and affection. But if it perchance so happens that you find each time you come back, you find the truth is still there, truth has not vanished. This person is still living that life of truth which you found on the first day, then you can't part company. There is no way. And when you can't part company, then the challenge becomes much worse, much tighter. That the person is becoming more and more important to you in your life. So unless you start looking to the absolute, this energy of truth, which is manifesting in different forms, but you recognize in this form, but form is not all important, truth is important. So worship the truth through the form, but not the form. You are related to the truth through the form. But not to the form through truth. Because you say, look, I saw truth here, so this person is most important to me. And here I am, that's the end of my journey, my movement. Because there have been some sayings in the past, like Kabir. Kabir has said at one place, in the ancient literature there have been mention of these things sometimes. Kabir says in one verse that the Guru and God, they are both standing in front of me. And Kabir says, now I do not know to whom should I pay homage first, to God or Guru? And then Kabir answers himself, he says, look, I must touch the feet of my Guru first, not God. It's an allegorical representation, because I don't think God stands in that form somewhere, but he is putting it in that form. He said, I must touch the feet of my Guru. Why? Because without the Guru I would have never known who the other fellow is. So God is important to me only because the Guru pointed out the way to me. But that is at one stage Kabir said it. Kabir went further somewhere. He even said in one of the verses like this, that from the Guru he was introduced to God, and now he says once, Bhali bhai hari bisaryo sirse tali bala jaisa tha vaisa bhaya aur aage kaha na ja. That's Hindi. So Kabir says, it's good that I have forgotten God now. I have forgotten God. It's a headache over from me. God was a headache. Every time you have to remember God, 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 God. It was a headache. I'm free from the headache now with God. So when I am free from this headache, which was God, then I have come to my original form. Then I have come to whatever I was, as I was born. When I was born, I did not know God and I did not know the world. I did not know the truth and I did not know the falsehood. So when I was in my original form, I never knew any these things. And so now I'm happy to be whatever I was. God was a burden. And when I am whatever I was, and when I come back to my true essence, after that I cannot describe what happens. So that's the ultimate where you have to come to, that understanding when you touch your essence and everything disappears. So unless you can transcend from the form to the formless, unless you can see your guru as the formless, or you can see your guru or the formless manifest everywhere, you will not be able to transcend the form. So now, unless you can take the small limited form into this vast expanse universe, where the whole of this universe is your God or Guru, you cannot meet the challenge of the form. And therefore, you will be always denied the benediction of discovering the ultimate reality. It's a very big challenge. And in the last talk I am saying it, I have never said it before, especially to those people who are very close to me here, that this is the challenge to meet. And it's not difficult if you start understanding not that the form of your teacher or guru is only an aspect of this absolute, or the truth is manifesting there. If you start looking at yourself, that you are not the body, you are not the form, not that your guru is not the form, you are also not the form. You are also the energy which is condensed, which you are seeing as your body. Because unless you are introduced from the form to the formless in your own life, in your own experience, my words will be only words. They will not mean much. If my words have to mean much, then you have to discover your own real essence, that your own real essence is also formless, that you are not the body, you are an energy manifesting as body. And relate to yourself not as a person of 5 feet 3 inches or 6 inches or 8 inches or 10 inches, but the vast immensity which is manifested in the small form for a certain function. And each one of us have some function in this universe. Beyond every form is the same reality. If you don't remain in touch with that reality, every form will create confusion. Any questions? No questions. Good.